It's a welcome to Geraldine Doogue, presenter of Compass on ABC television and all-round ABC personality. Geraldine, welcome to Sunday Night.
Good evening, John. Lovely to be here.
Great to have you with us. Now, you are off on an adventure for Compass, and it's taking you to the Middle East, in fact, to Israel for Easter. When will the program be screened?
Look, it's not actually going to be screened until many months down the track. So it's not, you know, an imminent Easter. I don't think they're waiting for Easter next year, but I think it's screened later this year. But it's really part. They were hoping, the producers were hoping to actually make a sequence of pilgrimage to Kumbh Mela, which went to air 2 weeks ago, one to the Hajj and one to Jerusalem, but it hasn't actually come up as neatly as that. So we're going to do this as a standalone of a committed Catholic going back to the source of faith.
And you mention a scene of great pilgrimage, which of course it is. Most people would have seen shots of Jerusalem, particularly at Easter and the Good Friday processions, the great Via Dolorosa, and the way in which that has been an important moment, although not quite as significant as the Hajj, it nevertheless looms very, very strong in Christian tradition.
Oh, absolutely. And look, I think for me anyway, every year the long Gospels during Easter week quite surprise me with the impact they have on me. I think they are really epic tales. And of course we've all, well, if you've got any interest in religion, you've heard them. But each year I get something fresh from hearing them. And in a way, the logical next step was to be fortunate enough to go to Jerusalem during Holy Week, which I've never done. I've never been to Israel at all. And so this was just a fantastic offer, and I'm very excited about it. I'm a little bit even overwhelmed in advance, you know, of what it'll be like.
So are you going to be one of those pilgrims on the day?
Yes, I am. I am. There's all sorts of rules and regulations about which I've been told, but I can't exactly translate them to you in terms of, you know, going into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and whether you're in there and you can't get out sort of thing. It is pretty rule-bound, and I gather it's pretty willing too. It's wild. But to me, it's almost the Via Dolorosa itself and the going to the Galilee and, you know, to Gethsemane and to the place of the trial, all of that as much as the, you know, the final bit, if you know what I mean, that I'm interested in. And the sort of the political nature of this story, that's what the older I've got, the more when I read those Gospels, I just sort of think, what was going on there? What was the context?
Yes, this isn't just a sacred religious story full of meaning and depth of understanding and symbolism. It is actually a piece of real politic.
It absolutely is, and which all I think throws light on the tradition that we've inherited, say me as a Perth girl, you know, now resident in Sydney, and the impact and the sort of overlap between Judaism, the grandfather religion, and Christianity, I have become steadily more fascinated by too. So, and you just can't discover that in Australia. I think you've got to go to the source to try to feel that overlap and feel the civil war that was underway inside Judaism, first of all, which then became this incredible cleavage between Judaism and what Paul then took to the world, this multinational religion.
This is a discussion that's been going on amongst scholars of religion, particularly scholars of Christianity, for the best part of a century. But it's only in the last 10 to 15 years that it's begun to trickle down, if you like, to the popular discussions in the pews with scholars like John Dominic Crossan and the work of the Jesus Seminar within the Catholic tradition, people like Crossan especially, but also in the Protestant tradition with people like John Shelby Spong, basically saying, look, you've got to approach these as secular tales as much as you do as religious tales.
Oh, look, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that, well, I think Nostra Aetate, you know, the great Vatican II encyclical about alerting Catholics to the source of, Catholics it was, but to the source or the sort of, the real genesis, pardon the pun, of Christianity. I think that played a massive role too, and it takes ages for these things to really filter through and to move away from those, that really cerebral area of scholarship into the pews, and I've certainly got it. I mean, there's a woman called Teresa Parola who's doing a very interesting work in Sydney. She's set up a website called Light of Torah, which people might like to look up, where she's trying to really appeal to Christians, but by educating them in Judaism and looking for crossover, for overlaps, and also where there aren't. I've found it completely illuminating.
You also mentioned Paul, who is the great first apostle of Christianity in taking it into the Greco-Roman world out of the Jewish context. Paul becomes, for some, in some ways a betrayer of Jesus, in that here is Jesus, a Palestinian peasant, and Paul is a Greco-Roman with touches to of a civilization that dwelt heavily in philosophy, and that the messages get confused. Is that part of your little quest here?
Well, look, I freely admit that I've become quite captivated by the complexity of Paul, and I wouldn't begin tonight to be saying to you this is what it is and it isn't, because he's not settled. If that great, is the science settled? Well, is the story of Paul settled? No, from what I can understand. And if you've been looking at those fantastic Simon Sharma series on the history of Judaism, which was, I think, just finished actually last night on the SBS, there was this whole discussion of the Messianic tradition and the Messiah. That was that huge argument inside Judaism. And of course, Jesus was right, Jesus and John the Baptist were right in the middle of all that. And Paul was, the ultimate, I suppose, view of taking Judaism out, which really offended the Orthodox Jews of Jerusalem. And he eventually said, well, I'm doing it. Broke all the rules, I'm doing it. I find that just the most incredible story of how all because this something dramatic happened to him on the road to Damascus. So that's one of the things I'm going to do, is I want to go to that Damascus gate. You can't go very far down it these days, of course, but just to go to that Damascus gate in Jerusalem and to just experience that and to know that something just so phenomenal, whatever it was, happened there to that man, that frankly you and I are talking to each other as Christians.
Mm. What's the central point of the programs that you'll be making?
Oh, well, the central point is, I suppose, me going to this source place of my faith to try to understand, well, to try to refresh myself, I think, is probably the best way. It's not a straight sort of pilgrimage to, maybe it's to deepen my faith, but it's to sort of more just say, what was it that animated those people of the time such that 1900, 2000 years on, it's still such a powerful force in my culture, although a force that's struggling for all sorts of reasons. So it's really an attempt, I suppose it is, to reinvigorate and refresh myself by understanding more the nature of the overlap between culture, politics and belief.
If the politics of that corner of the world 2,000 years ago gave rise to one of the world's great religions, we're also looking at political turmoil in that corner of the world today as being one of the world's hotspots. Are you going to cross into the West Bank or have a look at any of the issues between Israel, Palestine, those sorts of things?
I don't think so. I had to really think about this, and I mean... If we're lucky, we'll get an hour to air. If we're not, we'll get half an hour. These things are a little bit tricky to predict. I just think there's too much to do to really head into it. I must say, I'm quite intrigued by how the Jewish tradition has maintained a much stronger hold in some of its rituals than I think a lot of modern Christian rituals, whether they've survived in modern life. And I'm intrigued by that, to try to understand that a bit more. And, I mean, you can romanticise these things, because I know that they've also got massive issues with marrying out that sort of caused them to worry massively, you know, terrifically. But I've always found their Friday night Seder meals a very strong, smart sense of handing on story, culture and belief that I think Christianity could learn from.
Geraldine Doogue, there's much more we shall catch up on, perhaps when we can speak to you when you're in Jerusalem.
I hope so, John. I hope so.
Great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on Sunday night.
Thanks very much.
We'll catch
you
soon.
John.
All the best. Bye.